Now, Pope Francis caused a storm on Twitter. I know that's not hard to do, but he triggered a pretty strong reaction when he argued this week that people who choose to have cats and dogs in the house instead of raising children were selfish and diminishing humanity. Pet lovers, people who've chosen not to have children, they were indignant. But the Pope touched on a big question, that falling birth rates and an ageing population are posing monumental challenges to societies and economies across the world. So, provocative pontification aside, was the Pope onto a good point? Let's welcome Alastair Curry, the head of campaigns at Population Matters, and to Neil Cummins, the expert in historical fertility transition and Malthusian economics, a professor of economic history at LSE. To Alastair and Neil, good evening.
Hello.
Can I ask you, first of all, just to the context to this conversation, how big a challenge, Alastair first, is posed to countries by a falling birth rate and a rapidly aging population, Alastair?
Well, let's put this in context first. I mean, there is a challenge. There's no doubt about that. But half the world's population is under 30. And the UN is predicting that, or is projecting that we're going to add another 2 billion people within the next couple of generations. So there is no dearth of babies. There is no shortage of young people or human beings. That said, there are challenges because we are seeing the demographic structure changing, and we're seeing more old people. But this is something we've known is coming for a long while. And there are positive practical policy options that can be taken to address this, looking at retirement age, looking in particular at increasing the productivity of older people, who are a much underused resource at the moment, looking at automation, looking at potentially immigration. There's a whole range of things do. What we can't do is reverse the negative environmental effects that population contributes to, such as melted glaciers or extinct species. So we need to frame the economic discussion within the wider environmental discussion. If we don't have a healthy environment, it doesn't matter what else we're doing.
Yeah, look, Neil, there's a figure that was out there from the World Economic Forum that over 65s are going to be at least double the number they are now by 2050. I think the Pew Research Center says triple the number, which means an obvious strain on social services and healthcare, for example, and the capacity of those in work to pay for it. There's no ducking that.
Absolutely. I think if you want to look at our future, you can look to a country that's kind of a little bit ahead of this, and that's Japan. What you've seen there for the past two decades is quite a lot of stagnation, as not only does the kind of bill for having older people, you know, hospitalization bills, etc., healthcare bills, but also patterns of consumption change. Older people just don't spend money like younger people do. They're less subject to fashions and blowing their money on expensive jackets, etc. Yes. So all of these things are challenges, but there are things that I think we're capable of meeting. I wouldn't mean super negative on it.
No, I mean, look, when you look at older people, Neil, just to follow up that point there, older people are a resource as well as a challenge, aren't they? There's another figure. It's from America, where it said that 70% of disposable income is going to be in the hands of the baby boomers within 5 years, and that's a big market and a potential source of strength and power to the economy. And yet, advertising, it's overwhelmingly aimed at much younger consumers.
That will change, though, once, you know, the economy will adjust. And I think if you look at adverts in Japan, you'll see a lot of advertisements targeting that older demographic. And I agree. I think people are living longer. It was just mentioned before. People are, you know, generally healthier than a generation ago or a generation before that. I'm quite positive on the fact that we can adapt to a changing kind of economy, a changing age structure. The world is changing, but, you know, we can solve a lot of these age structure issues through one mechanism, and that is migration. We can just let people in from parts of the world which are growing. And that's what the Americas allowed for Europe during, say, the age of mass migration. And this was a period of an explosion in economic growth and a great, you know, period of growing riches for everybody. So over the past two centuries, the world has become a lot richer. There's a lot more of us. There's a lot more of us. We're a lot richer. We live a lot longer. And I'm positive on this. I think we can adapt to it.
What do you think on that, Alastair? I mean, there is, you know, quite plainly potential there to help deal with these imbalances, these age imbalances in different economies and societies by letting more young people in, especially where they're doing jobs that need to be done. But it's easier to say that than to do it in many cases. In Germany, for example, the gate was largely open to migrants, and a lot of those migrants filled jobs in the German economy that badly needed to be filled. But you can get to a point where you stir tension and resentment about that. And that's certainly been the case, certainly in this country, in the United Kingdom, in the eyes of policymakers, because we have Brexit, which was sold on the basis of stopping migrants coming to this country from the continent of Europe.
I think that there's no question that migration has a role to play in addressing the age imbalances. But as you've said, migration is a complex issue. All immigration is also emigration, and emigration can be good because it reduces population pressure where people come from. It can be good because people from poorer countries send remittances home, which help look after people there. But it also has a downside. It can add population pressures in the place that people migrate to. So it's not a complication-free solution, but actually the suite of solutions that we have, looking at retirement, looking at productivity, looking at pensions reform, all those kinds of things, then it's a manageable problem. What is clear, and this goes back to the Pope's remarks, is that boosting birth rate will not have a positive effect. Firstly, if you add more young people, they just become old people in time. You can't keep chasing after that dream of having a balance. But more importantly, when we're adding more people to the global population, as we are doing at the moment, and as is projected that we will do, we're having an impact on biodiversity loss, we're having an impact on climate change, we're having an impact on resource, we're having a huge negative effect. The world is already using 1.7 planets worth of resources, of renewable resources. Now, obviously, there's an important issue with inequity. Many of us are using far more than our fair share, but nevertheless, 8 billion people all need food, all need land, all need energy, all need infrastructure. Mm. And those people who are currently poor, they need more of those things than they have. That pressure is one that is putting too much of a strain on our planet. What we can do instead is look at the advantages that we get from smaller people, which is a healthier environment that's better able to sustain people. It's less pressure on public services. It's a whole range of benefits that we get from that. So, the Pope is really missing out on all the benefits that come, and the notion that we need more children is very wrong-headed.
So, Neil, what do you make of Alistair's analysis there? Is he being too gloomy about the possibility of dealing with the problem, let's use the word problem, when it comes to older people?
Well, let me be quite specific. I think I agree with pretty much the vast majority of what Alistair just said. I do disagree with the idea that more people is bad. And let me just explain why. At any moment in time over our species history, you could argue that more people was bad. In a Malthusian economy, more people mean more misery for the average person. Basically, we have a fixed pie economy or an opinion of an economy that operates like a fixed pie, and then you're just cutting the pizza pie into smaller and smaller pieces. But over the longer term, what people do is generate ideas and innovation and transform the possibilities for all of us, for education, for transcendence, for anything that makes life worth living. So if you ask Thomas Malthus in 1800 about the fertility of the poor in England and France, he would tell you they should stop having children. I can tell you since 1800, the world population has absolutely exploded, and most people on the planet are living better lives than they were living in 1800. And so I think there's a danger of being like Malthus, very gloomy and pessimistic about our species' role on the planet, and missing the kind of forest for the trees, in the sense that what makes us, what we are, our ability to think, our ability to come up with new inventions, to talk to each other. These things are intimately connected to how many of us there are. And we have models, we have many, we're still working on this, but that there is a relationship between how many of us there are and how we generate ideas.
Yeah. Are we closer to realizing the capacity to harness the skills and the experience of older people as part of, the economically active force within any labor force inside a country like ours, for example? Are we realizing the potential there of older workers in professions and trades?
Well, I think that it's going to take a long time for that to actually happen. I think that what what keeps an economy rich is productivity. And it turns out that people are just, a little, when they're younger, they're a little bit hungrier. Okay. When you get older, you generally kind of step away from that. So we have kind of an age earnings profile, which is, you know, basically people retire at a certain age and do different things. So I think as we're living longer and there's many decades of post-retirement life, I mean, maybe culturally we could shift the psychology of this a little bit. But I mean, this is, you know, I speculate. I think that, and this is kind of channeling kind of some of the work that I've been kind of looking at, like from Esther Boserup, and thinking about how we've responded over centuries here, is that people will adjust and I think will be okay.